Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough estate, tax, or financial problem keeping you up at night? You can call the show right now at 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. Long distance and podcast listeners can call toll free at 800-344-5836. Coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, and broadcast on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you're listening today, thanks for making us a part of your day. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP President of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. And I've got to say, folks, welcome. Thank you for listening. If you cannot catch the live broadcast of our show, you can hear a replay on Apple Music, iTunes, Google Play, iHeartMusic, any of the places where you get your podcasts, because we do rebroadcast the show via podcast every week. We also post it on our website and at investingsimplifiedradio.com, which is where you can ask your questions via the text line, because right now we are still not able to record in the studio and take your phone calls, unfortunately. But if you do have a question that you'd like to get answered, something that's been keeping you up at night, you can give our office a call at 503-253-3000, or you can drop me an email at askbo@pfgwm.com. We also do a weekly newsletter. Sometimes it's bi-weekly, sometimes it's weekly. Try to get it out every week just with information that is applicable to the markets, to your money, to your investing, and different things like that. So if you'd like to sign up for that, you can visit our website at pfgwm.com. It's free. You don't get put on a mailing list or anything other than just for the newsletter that we put out. We also have some good resources that folks have been taking advantage of on our website that are free, basically retirement readiness tests, quizzes that you can take that are all on there just to, as a resource for folks in our community. And I got to tell you, this week when you talk about investing, talk about what to do, how to allocate your money to the market, if you're still growing your money, if you've still been putting money into the 401k, what a week this last week was particularly, and what a week we have had, you know, the last couple of weeks, really just, you know, May into the beginning of June. June has been just a crazy, crazy run-up for this whole week of June, right? The market has just been on a tear, and I got to tell you, it's a little bit unnerving, actually, that the market has gone up so far so fast, because fundamentally, when we look at the underlying reports, the underlying issues inside of our economy with all the people unemployed, although the jobs report did come out this week that showed we had a drastic reduction in the jobless claims, which was good. You know, got more people going back to work as the, you know, restrictions are lifted around the country, ever so much slower here in Oregon, I feel like, especially the Portland area. But they are lifting these restrictions, and so people have gone back to work, and that was a nice number, which was interesting to look at, because if you remember, I've been talking about it's been bugging me for the last couple of months that we would have jobs reports that were super negative come out, and the market rallied forward, and now we have a jobs report that comes out that's positive, and the market rallies forward, and while that's a good thing, and I think long-term, the market is still your friend for your investment, for, you know, investing money and for growing money, especially if you're in the accumulation phase. It does make me feel like we're a little bit stretched right now. Just to rally back that fast from that big of a dip kind of makes me think that we are due for a pretty good retest or a pullback here. Now, who knows, right? It's kind of funny when people ask what I think is going to happen. Clients will ask me all the time, you know, what is my projection for the rest of the year? And, you know, anybody who projects, and I know I've said this before, but anybody who gives you a projection on what the market is going to do, they don't know what they're talking about, right? You just don't know what's going to happen. I can tell you what I think would happen and historically what has happened and what it looks like should happen based on the different items that are out and around, but that doesn't mean that I know what's going to happen when we talk about interest rate projections, when you want to talk about the Fed projections. We talk about the Fed that had said they were going to step in and prop up, basically, distressed asset classes that we've had in the corporate bond space. They didn't have to. A lot of you know, companies aren't necessarily pushing, you know, declaring for bankruptcy as much as you'd think, although there are companies that are. You know, 24 Hour Fitness is declaring bankruptcy. A lot of companies, I think there is still fallout to come from COVID and to come from the shutdown that we were forced to go into, even though as we start to open up and as we start to get back to work, it appears that the cases are not rising as drastically as we thought they might once the opening happened, which I think is a positive thing. And as we have companies that are moving forward, like Moderna and Johnson & Johnson and other companies that are developing these coronavirus vaccines or these antibody treatments, I think that's all positive news. And the market has taken that in stride and gone, you know, extremely positive because of it. I think the market is a bit stretched from a technical standpoint in terms of where we have come from and where we appear to be heading from a moving average standpoint and other technical indicators. But the funny thing about technicians, as they're called, or technical analysis in the market, is oftentimes you'll hear them, no matter where you see the market analysis, whether you listen to Jim Cramer on, you know, Mad Money on CNBC, or, you know, you listen to, you know, Varney or those guys on Fox Business, wherever you listen or get your news about the market, if you are a person that gets that live updates or those live feeds on the market, anytime you see technical analysis, and technical analysis is utilizing price movements in charts rather than using fundamental analysis, which is an analysis from the bottom up, right? Fundamental analysis looks at, okay, Apple has this kind of a balance sheet and they sell this many units and this is how much money they owe in debt and this is how much cash they're holding and this is how many shares outstanding. And they do, you've heard the price to earnings ratios or price to book value, all those sort of ratio analysis. That's a fundamental analysis. And then a technical analysis is a charting analysis. They look at the ways that the price of the stock or the indices, if you're using the S&P 500 or the Dow, and see how they've moved. They look historically how they've moved in the past and they try to project it forward. But the funny thing is, when you hear them analyze for, and, you know, they can do a pretty good analysis a lot of times in a very short period of time, right? They can get a pretty good idea of where the stock or where the index is going to move in the short term. But if they try to look long term, when they come up with those numbers and those lines, they say things like, well, if it does this, then it could mean that it's going to keep going up, but it also might mean that it's going down. And they talk in percentages where they say 75% of the time it does this when it does, when, you know, this action happens. And to me, that means that there's still a 25% chance that it's not going to perform the way that they predicted. And you've seen that because, you know, when people talk about what the market's doing or how it's going, I've been calling for a retest or a pullback for a couple of months now and have been totally wrong. And the difference between myself and those folks who are on CNBC or Fox Business or Bloomberg, wherever you're getting that market data, is I'm ready and willing to admit that I don't know. You know, basically, I have no idea what's going to happen. I can give a good guess or a thought about where I think it's going to go, but I really don't know, and they don't know either, but I'm willing to admit it. So the key is when you're looking at the market, whether it's because it's super high or if you think that it's due for a pullback, it's you know, the question people ask is, what's the market doing today? And I say, well, you know, I don't really know. And I that's an exaggeration. I know what the market's doing of a day, but I say I don't know because to me, it doesn't really matter what the market is doing intraday in the short term. I don't really care what the market is doing day in, day out necessarily, unless we have something historic happening as we did, you know, in the first quarter of this year. But otherwise, my goal and my focus is on making sure that my clients have a sustainable retirement plan, right? So making sure that their money is going to last. The number one fear for folks when they talk about retirement and they talk about investing is, am I going to live out my money? It's kind of funny. You'd think it would be, is the market going to go down? Is the market going to crash? And people are afraid of that, and rightly afraid of that, because at some point it is going to crash, right? Now, that doesn't mean it's going to go to zero. It's unlikely that it will ever go to zero, but not impossible. But unlikely. But at some point between now and the end of time, the market will crash. And if you're not prepared for what that means, then you need to take a deep second look at the things that you're doing with your investments in your retirement planning, right? If you would like to take a second look, if you want to have somebody else look at it, give our office a call. I've been talking to a lot of folks that are kind of reevaluating based on what happened the beginning of the year through now as the market's ratcheted back up, and now they're almost back to even or getting close to where they were at the beginning of the year. And the question is, if what happened at the beginning of the year, well, I should say, in, you know, at the end of February into March, so kind of the beginning of the year, but towards the end of the first quarter, if what happened then were to happen again later this year, or were to happen next year, or were to happen, heaven forbid, in the first year of your retirement, how are you going to be able to handle that? And I have talked to some people, and some people say, well, I'll just keep working longer, or I just need to save up more money. I have one client who, he has almost all of his money in equity exposure, and he's a growth-oriented investor despite the fact that he's 65 years old. So he is 65 years old and has all of his money, well, not all, I shouldn't say all of his money, but all of his investable dollars, his retirement money, is invested in the stock market in some way, shape, or form. So whether that's a mutual fund, an ETF, or individual stocks, that's where his money is. But we've had the conversation about what happens if the market dips by 30% again, if the market drops by 50%. He's well aware of the risks and understands that he's giving that possibility for in order to reap the gains that he's trying to get. And that's not a bad plan if that's your plan. The key is, a lot of people think that they have a retirement plan, and what their retirement plan is, well, my broker's got it, right? My broker's investing my money. We're putting it to work. They talk to me about the returns that they got last year, the returns that they got in 2019, how great their money went up. But then you don't hear how great things were going when the market went straight down like it did to start this year, right? Because the idea is, it's not about how much money you make, it's about how much money you get to keep, right? Because you haven't really returned that money, even though the market's way up. We could talk about, you know, folks, we have a growth fund that we use in our growth portfolios with folks that are, you know, accumulating still or a little bit more aggressive, that's up 38% this year. Now, that's not, you know, an entire portfolio. That's one specific fund that we use as a sleeve in our growth portfolios, but it is beating its index by 30-something percent. So it is destroying its index overall, but it also went down real hard when the market went down, and this year it happens to be way up. But next year it might not, right? So anybody who tells you that, you know, they made the most money last year and they're going to make it the most money every year and they're going to set the world on fire is probably lying or mistaken, because it is really difficult to take that growth-oriented view and consistently outperform year over year without being willing to hold on, white-knuckle it, basically, through the swings that are going to happen, the downswings. So if you are that investor, if you are looking for growth, or if you're still quite a few years away from retirement, you're in that accumulation stage, then that makes a lot of sense. And we work with clients that do that all the time, that they're just concerned about what kind of returns they can get. But when they say to me, that's my retirement plan, because it, you know, it makes a lot of sense for right now if you're still working and have more time that you can work. But what happens when you pull that trigger to go work optional and you start staying home? And now you need to replace your income, right? You had a paycheck coming in every week or every other week or maybe once a month, But either way, you had a paycheck coming in. Social Security only goes so far, folks. Social Security is not supposed to sustain your retirement. So what's your plan? And if the plan is that I'm going to withdraw from my account, and they say, well, my broker ran a Monte Carlo analysis, and, you know, I have a 75% chance of making, you know, my retirement based on these returns. And I say, that's great. That's good. And if you're all invested in the stock market and you have that 75% chance, that's a really good chance. And that's not a bad plan. But what if I could show you a way that we could guarantee that you weren't going to run out of money, right? So some, you know, some people like to have that guarantee. Some people don't mind writing it out because they want to grow that account. They want to grow those funds. And there's no wrong way of doing it, I guess, is the, you know, the really long-winded answer. I got a long winding road to get to that point, is that there's no right way to invest your money necessarily. There's no right way to save for retirement. There is a wrong way, and that's by just, you know, sticking your head in the sand, not taking a look. So what a lot of people have really found that they've liked is working with a group like ours is just getting that second opinion. Let's take a look at where you're at. Let's take a look at what you're doing. One of our, you know, one of our advisors, we're adding to the team here in the coming months. We're bringing on a couple of other planners. We're bringing on another staff member as we're growing to help more people. One of our advisors will go through that with you. We'll tell you, hey, this is what we see. This is what it looks like. And if that looks good for you, then great. All you've done, and people have said that they got a lot of peace of mind to know, hey, I'm doing the right thing. I've saved up. I've worked really hard. And we're supportive of that, right? If it doesn't make sense to come work with a group like ours, I'm not going to tell you that it does. We do that as a complimentary service to our radio listeners. So if you would like to get that done, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. We're happy to go through that with you. I'm happy to sit down with you face to face. We can maintain 6 foot of distance, physical distance, and wear masks, and we will disinfect between our appointment. If you'd like, we can also do it over Zoom or over video conference. We can also do it over the phone just to get that second opinion, that free look, and see to make sure that you're on track. Make sure that you know where you are, because that's the hardest part, right? If you remember back when AAA used to do these, you know, they'd get you this personalized map to where you're going. You say your family's planning a trip to the Grand Canyon. Here's where we're going to go. AAA sends you that map. Remember that map with the yellow highlighted line that tells you where to stop and where to go? But the biggest thing about that is you knew where you were starting from. Right now, you probably don't know where you're starting from. You may not know where you're trying to go. So let us be that AAA for you. Let us build that roadmap for you. And worst case is, just like AAA, it's a service that we provide to you. You're a radio listener, so it's like being a AAA member with us. We'll do that for you complimentary. And if it makes sense to work with us, if you like what we have to say, we'd love to work with you. But if it doesn't, then at least we're a resource now that you have down the line to call on. So give our office a call, 503-253-3000. I'm happy to sit down with you, happy to chat over the phone. Let us know how we can help. So we're going to take a break here, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about retirement planning that I've seen in the recent months, things that we've done for our clients, and answer some questions that I've had come in over the last week. Please, please stay with us. If you have a question, unfortunately, we can't take it live right now over the phone, but you can drop that question on investingsimplifiedradio.com, or feel free to send me an email at askbo@pfgwm.com. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is Bo Caldwell, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. I want to thank you for tuning in if you're just now joining us, or thank you for sticking with us as we maneuver through yet another day in the COVID-19, you know, growing out of quarantine, just this new world that we're living in as stores are, you know, slowly beginning to open up, as counties are opening up, as people are able to go out of their houses. We're being released from the quarantine ever so slowly, and the market has really priced that in and has been growing back super fast. I talked in the previous segment about how the market has spiked up super far and super fast, and I mentioned about having your money in the market long term, and the thing that, you know, one of the big things that really hurts people in a long-term retirement plan is greed. And you may say, what do you mean greed? And this is what I mean. What I mean is, people look at the way that the market has rallied back and they are quick to forget what happened just a couple months ago and how that felt, because look, the market came screaming back, I should be getting all of those returns, right? They look at what happened in 2019, where the stock market itself returned, you know, nearly 30% if you were in the S&P 500. It's very reminiscent to me about 1999. I think that's 1999 is really when the issues started happening of people being too greedy with their retirement accounts. And what people were seeing was, hey, I've got this money in, you know, my TSP or in my 401k, my 403b at work. And then they see the stuff, you know, the market going up so much. And so they take the money that's allocated to, whether it's to the bond funds or the stable value fund or the less risky funds, and they're piling the money into the stock market, right? They're piling the money into these risky assets because they want a piece of it too. And a lot of times that's really what happens right around when the market, you know, spikes the way it has, is a lot of people are quick to jump in because they have that fear of missing out. They're worried about that they missed the boat, so they're going to try and buy in, and they're going to get super greedy. And that's, again, not a terrible thing to do if you have a long time horizon. You have 10, 15, 20 years till you're touching the money. Sure, I'm all for it. You know, go for it. Buy that, you know, buy that stock, buy that index fund. You know, get that money going in your 401k, especially because you're dollar cost averaging. You're adding money to it every paycheck, right? So if you're doing that, then it's a great time to be buying in. But if you're nearing retirement, if you're thinking about retiring this year, I don't think now is the time. And this is not for, you know, anybody specifically. Make sure you consult with your investment advisor. Give our office a call if you'd like to consult with us about your specific situation. But generally speaking, now may not be the time to just go full bore into the market if you don't have that amount of time to ride out the roller coaster ride that is the market. So if you have time to ride it out, yeah, let's get in there. Let's mix it up, right? But if you don't, understand that the risks that you're taking may make it so that you cannot, you know, sustainably live in retirement. And that's what I mean about greed too. When people don't make that shift from the accumulation phase, as we call it, but the accumulation phase, all that means is that you're accumulating money, right? You're saving money. We're putting 10% of our paycheck away. You're getting that matching fund from the employer if you're lucky. You've got, maybe you're an employer or employee, excuse me, with the school system, and you have PERS, or, you know, a government system that has FERS retirement, and you're looking at the money that the corporation or the government or the municipality is putting away for you. And so you are stashing money away, and that's great. But if you're shifting from that accumulation phase, that phase where you're saving up the money, into this distribution phase, right? Because what's going to happen, you retire, you turn in your notice, you feel super good. Hey, I'm going to spend way more time with my husband. I'm going to spend way more time with my wife. Or, you know, you're going to spend more time doing your hobbies or figuring out what you're going to do in retirement. And that's excellent. But once you get to that point, you're actually needing a paycheck to pay for those things, right? And I mentioned it, Social Security was never meant to cover all of your wages necessarily, although I think at some point maybe they thought it was. But for most people, your Social Security payment is not nearly going to match what you were making pre-retirement. And I work with a lot of, you know, government employees that have a real good pension still, right? Government employees have a good pension that's set up. And so they can rely on the pension and they can rely on Social Security. And, you know, if we're a Boeing employee and we're able to get that pension, a lot of Boeing employees have a really good pension, or former Boeing employees, I should say. If you've got a really good pension, or you're a railroad worker and got a really good pension, although railroad workers and Social Security is a different animal, but you have this pension that's coming from your work and you add Social Security, maybe you're getting close to your pre-retirement income in that first year. But then what happens 15, 20 years down the road when things start to cost more? I use the analogy all the time and it rings true. My grandfather paid more for his last car than he did for his first house. Like, stuff costs more as things go on. You know, that inflation is a real thing, and while you don't see it on a day-by-day basis, you see it when you talk about gas prices. You know, at the pump, we have oil at historic lows. The barrels of oil were super cheap a couple of weeks ago, but you notice you still paid here in Oregon. At least we're still paying $2 a gallon, and we were over the moon when it dropped under $2 a gallon. When it dropped under $2 a gallon, just let that sink in for a second. That's not super cheap, but to us it felt cheap because that's the power of inflation, right? You start to look at home prices. You look at the cost of a loaf of bread, of a gallon of milk. Any of that stuff, it's incremental and it's over time. But just like when you don't see, you know, a grandkid for maybe 6 months, or, you know, you don't say it's just a grandkid, but any sort of child, right? There's a child that's, you know, a couple years old, you don't see him for 6 months, and then you see him again and it's, oh my goodness, something is, you know, they've grown up crazy amounts. It seems like they grew, you know, 3 years in just 6 months, but their parents who are around them every day may not notice because it's incremental changes over that 6 months. The same thing works with inflation, right? So you're looking at inflation as, well, you know, stuff doesn't really seem to cost that much more, but it does. And over time, it adds up, right? And so stuff costs more. Now, you add inflation, you know, that's one of the things. We had greed we talked about, where people are, you know, just greedy, and so they don't make the shift from maybe the riskier assets to the less risky assets, or shift to being able to have a sustainable retirement, right? But we can also talk about the other things that kind of eat into, you know, a sustainable retirement, eat into making sure that you don't outlive your money. And one of the big ones is healthcare costs, right? Healthcare costs go up every single year, and not only do the costs go up, but you end up needing more healthcare as you get older, right? And everyone can talk about it. And, you know, I know that being a younger guy, a lot of folks are going to laugh at me when I say, you know, getting old stinks, man. You know, I got up out of a chair and my wife kind of looked at me and she looked at me funny. And I said, that's just the noise I make now. That's the noise I make getting in and out of a chair. And I know that there, you know, if you're listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Every year, I feel like more noises happen when you're just moving, just living, just being alive. And so that translates into costs in your retirement that you may not have planned for. So when you're talking about having Social Security and even having that good pension, you have that's what's called a fixed income, right? You are getting a fixed amount. And yes, it may be great for right now, but when you were working, you were getting raises every year, right? Or maybe not every year, but every couple of years, you're getting these cost of living increases, because the cost of living goes up. So you want to make sure that you build that into your retirement plan. You want to have these cost of living increases. And one of the ways that you do that is having some money exposed to the stock market. Now, how much money, again, depends on your individual situation. But it also depends on having that written plan, that roadmap, that idea of how you're going to get to where you're going, what's going to take to get there, and to make sure that you can have that peace of mind that those financial termites, as it were, aren't eating away at your retirement plan, right? The other one, the flip side of the medical costs that go up over time, right? And we can talk about the medical costs. We talk about long-term care events. We talk about different things like that. But the flip side of that medical cost is living too long, right? So a lot of people worry that they're living longer. With medical science advances, you know, coronavirus by the wayside, but advances in medical science, human beings are living longer on average than ever, right? And if you're in good health or even, you know, medium health, the likelihood that you're going to live for at least 20 years in retirement is really high. So if your plan or if your broker is not planning for you to live out there, I tell people I like to plan for age 100. And most people look funny at me and they laugh. They say, well, I'm not making it to 100. And I say, well, that's fine, but I would rather plan for you to make it to 100 and and then have too much money and have to make the phone call that says, hey, you got to take your wife on a cruise. Or, you know, hey, you got to buy that your grandkid, you know, her first car when she turns 16. Or hey, you know, I know your husband passed away, but you have all this money that's just going to end up, you know, causing you to have an estate tax problem. So let's call Taylor. Let's call Kevin. Let's figure out how to fix that. That's a good phone call to make rather than having to call someone and say, hey, you need to start practicing. Would you like fries with that? And there's nothing wrong with having that job working at McDonald's. I've said that before. There's nothing wrong with going back to work in retirement if that's something that you like. If that's something that you want to do. I have one client who has, he's still working. He works with me, has some of his funds with us, but he can retire. We've had that conversation multiple times. And I've told him, hey, you don't need to keep working. But he enjoys it. He likes interacting with people, keeps him active, gives him something to do. And so that's why I call it work optional planning rather than necessarily retirement planning. But I want you to have that choice. And one of those things we have to plan for is you living longer than you may have expected before. With that comes the possibility of needing care, needing long-term care, right? And so a lot of people will say, well, that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to need long-term care. Or they'll say, well, my wife's going to take care of me and I'm going to take care of her if one of us needs care, right? And you've heard that a lot. That's a lot of people will say that. And one, my answer to the first one is statistically, and I'm a math and science guy, right? I try not to operate on what ifs or if we do this or hopefully we get there, right? I try to operate on this. Let's look at the math. Let's look at the proven science and see how we can plan for these things. And 66% of us statistically, so 2 out of every 3 people will have a long-term care event in their lifetime. They will have something that happens to them that requires care. And if you're planning on having your spouse take care of you, that's great from a perspective of it seems like a really nice idea. I don't know about you, but I weigh 240 pounds. I'm lying. I weigh 250. I weigh 250 pounds. My wife, and she's in very good shape. She's a personal fitness instructor. She runs a fitness franchise. She would not be able to lift me and carry me out to the car to take me to the hospital or take me to the doctor if she is my caregiver. And what I wouldn't want her to. I wouldn't want her to have to be doing that. So if your plan is to have your spouse take care of you, that makes sense, but wouldn't you rather have a plan to make sure that someone's going to be there to help them take care of you, right? And whether it's your kids that are going to take care of you or, you know, you have a family friend or whatever it is, we want to make sure that you can take that burden off of them. And that's one of the things that we plan for. And we figure out a way to tackle that. And we figure out a way to talk that fits your situation and have the conversation. If your broker, your planner isn't having that conversation, give us a call, 503-253-3000. I'm happy to talk you through. Hey, this is how we help our clients tackle that. This is what we look at. These are the things that we do. Maybe it makes sense for you. Maybe it doesn't, but at least you'll have the information. If there was something out there that could keep you from having to tackle those sort of issues, wouldn't you want to know about it? And what's it going to cost you? It's just going to cost you a phone call. Or it's going to cost you, you know, some time sitting down. Now, I mentioned we're happy to sit down with you, and I am. Happy to sit down with you, maintain that physical distance, wear a mask and disinfect everything. I wanted to announce, we've talked about it a little bit. We do have an office out in Northwest Beaverton right now. We have opened it up. The furniture is being delivered next week. We're going to be able to meet with folks over there here coming up in just a couple of weeks. It's right off the corner of Cornell Road, Northwest Cornell Road, and Bethany Boulevard. We also have an office in Southwest Portland that we can meet folks at. It's right off of I-5 and 217. It's off that 72nd exit off of 217. We also have an office in Clackamas. We have an office in Vancouver. We are going to be letting go of our Mall 205 office. It's just time. Unfortunately, the building has come under some disrepair, but we're going to be moving and making sure that we can meet folks in Vancouver, in Clackamas. I'm also happy to come out and see you at your place. One of my advisors will come out and see you at your place if that's easier for you, if it makes it easier for you rather than trekking in. And as always, we are happy to meet you over the phone or virtually if that's something that you feel more comfortable with. Our clients have really appreciated that ability to do that sort of they have telemedicine now, right? A lot of our doctors are doing telemedicine, right? They're discovering that they can do a lot of stuff over the phone or over the computer. We can do telemedicine, as it were, for your finances. Chuck liked to call himself the financial doctor all the time, although he is not a doctor. I have to put that out there. The government makes us tell you that we're not doctors. He's not a doctor, doesn't hold a doctorate, but putting that caveat out there. But if you want a financial checkup, I can say that, right? If you want a financial checkup and you want to do it, we'll cover that for free. It's a wellness visit, as it were, for your finances, a financial wellness visit. I'm going to coin that right now. I like it. I'm going to coin that financial wellness right now. If you'd like to do that, give our office a call, 503-253-3000, or drop me an email at bo@pfgwm.com, or visit our website at pfgwm.com to learn more. We'd be happy to chat with you. And like I said, all it costs you to meet with us is just a little bit of your time. There's never a time where you're going to get charged. You're not on an hourly clock, nothing like that. And there's no obligation to do any of that. So give our office a call, 503-253-3000. We're going to take another break here, and we'll be back with more Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for sticking with us. I wanted to let you know as well, folks have asked, because I do sound a little bit like I'm down a well, or we don't have the greatest microphone access until we can get back into the studio. Going to be working on this, and I am actually have taken the time because we want to make sure that we're able to bring you content, bring you fresh content, and be able to bring that to you here over the airwaves as well as doing it digitally. We are investing to grow the show a little bit, and we're going to be installing a recording area, recording studio, so that it'll be a little bit cleaner. We'll be able to do a little bit more with Kevin and with Taylor and be able to be a little bit cleaner and easier to understand to you. So that should be coming in the next couple weeks. And I am hopeful that I can get those guys on the show in the coming weeks. Want to make sure if you have questions for Taylor or for Kevin, I'm happy to forward them on. I'm happy to get them to answer those. If you want to send those in to askbo@pfgwm.com or to investingsimplifiedradio.com, I'm happy to get those out to you, get those over to Kevin and Taylor and get them to answer those questions, because I know enough about tax planning and estate planning to get the right questions asked, but I don't know enough to obviously tell you the answers to them all the time, because you don't know I don't know everything, and anybody who says they do is obviously lying, but people who aren't willing to admit what they don't know makes me a little bit nervous. So, if we have questions like that that come up, I will make sure to involve them, make sure to get them to come on, send those in. I have had a couple of questions that have come in specifically over the last couple of weeks about Roth conversions and about beneficiary IRAs. And also, I've had a couple of questions about contributions to both the Roth and the IRA from people that are working part-time in retirement or from people that are on Social Security. So I wanted to cover a couple of those. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, planning for the distribution phase. So when you start talking about semi-retirement or retirement, what a lot of people think of from semi-retirement or work optional is they're going to turn on their Social Security, right? So if you hit your full retirement age, you start drawing your Social Security, there's checks getting deposited into your account every month, and maybe you don't need all that money. And so people have asked, is there a better way to utilize that? And they've asked, can I still contribute to a Roth or to a traditional IRA if I'm working in retirement? So the great news about the SECURE Act, there's a lot of issues I have with it, a lot of things I don't like about it. But one of the things that is really good about it is that they have extended the ability to contribute and deduct your contribution to a traditional IRA. So you're able to contribute to a traditional IRA. The rules about a traditional IRA contribution only have to do with deductions now. So the one rule is you have to have earned income. That applies to both traditional and Roth IRAs. But the deduction rule for the traditional IRA now comes, it stems from how much money you make in earned income and if you or your spouse is covered by an employer-sponsored plan. Now it phases out after certain limits, so you can't make too much money and then deduct the contribution. But if you make too much money, which is the onus for one of the questions that I had, how do I contribute to a Roth if I make too much money? So the Roth rules are only about earned income. It has nothing to do with whether you're covered by an employer plan or not. But if you make too much money, and I believe that the limitations right now are about $183,000 as a married couple, and about half that as a single person, is when they start to phase out. So if you make more than that, you'd say, well, I make too much money. And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people about, hey, I really think a Roth IRA is the right way to go. I think you've got some extra money. Let's take advantage of it. And they say, well, I make too much money. I can't contribute to a Roth. And I say, au contraire, you can. You know, it's often called the backdoor Roth or the rich man's Roth. There's a lot of different terms for it. But one of the ways that you can contribute to a Roth IRA, if you make too much money, is called that backdoor Roth. And the only requirement that you have to have is you have to have earned income. And you may say, wait a minute. You just said that if I make too much money and my spouse is covered or I'm covered by an employer-sponsored plan, I can't contribute to a traditional IRA. And I say, but you can. You just can't deduct it, which is the perfect setup for that backdoor Roth. Now, if you remember, we've talked about this before, but a backdoor Roth or a rich person, you know, but a rich person's Roth, a high earner way to get your money into a Roth is you do a contribution to a traditional IRA and you do not deduct that contribution. So that means you got $6,000 or $7,000 if you're over 50, $6,000 going into that traditional IRA. We are not deducting it. And then you immediately convert it to a Roth. That's how you can fund a Roth IRA, even if you make too much money. Now, the big caveat there is you have to have no other IRA money, right? You cannot have other IRA money that was deducted, or you can't have deductible contributions to an IRA because that throws the whole calculation into whack. And I've had this question that came up that said, hey, I listened to you on the show. You talked about this backdoor Roth, but I've got an IRA. You know, I had an old job. I rolled my 401k over to it. You know, they've got $60,000, $70,000 sitting in there over at Edward Jones or another broker. My broker's been managing it for me, and he tells me I can't do a backdoor Roth. And I would argue the reason that he tells you or she tells you you can't do a backdoor Roth is they don't want you to take that money out of that IRA. Because you can, and here's how. If you have a 401k at work that you are actively participating in and it accepts rollovers, most of them do. I have come across very few 401ks or employer-sponsored plans that don't accept rollovers. This includes a TSP. This includes a 403b. An employer-sponsored plan. It does not include a simple IRA or a SEP IRA, but it includes a 401k, a 403b plan, or a TSP, you can roll your IRA into that work plan. That's not a taxable event. You're staying traditional to traditional. It's still tax deferred. Now, how much money do you have in a traditional IRA? The answer is zero. You have zero in a traditional IRA. So now we can do that non-deductible contribution to the IRA. We can convert the money to Roth. There you go. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. You now have, I can't believe I just said that, but we're gonna roll with it. You now have a backdoor Roth contribution despite the fact that you had other IRAs before. So I would argue that if your broker is telling you you cannot do a backdoor Roth, give me a call. We can talk about it. I can help you. And it doesn't even mean that I have to do it for you. I will help you get that going. That's what we're here for, is to provide that info out to folks. Because if you have the only requirement, there are two requirements to be able to do the backdoor Roth. One, you have to have earned income. Two, you cannot have other deferred IRA money. And I shouldn't say that, that one should come with a caveat, because you can do it even if you have other money. It just may not be worth it because it's a giant tax headache, right? You can also just convert that other money, but then you're going to pay taxes on it. It's not a tax-free Roth contribution like we'd be doing with the backdoor Roth. You can convert that other money at the same time and pay taxes on it. So in that situation that I described, you've got $60,000 sitting in a traditional IRA. You do a $6,000 non-deductible contribution to that IRA, and then you convert the whole $66,000. You only pay taxes on the $60,000. Because that was the tax deferred. The other six was a non-deductible contribution. But if you were to try to convert just the non-deductible contribution, you have to pay taxes in a weird exclusion ratio that I've had Kevin talk about before. But what I will tell you is that it's going to give your CPA nightmares, because they have to not only do the work for you, they have to track it, they have to keep track of it. And that, to me, is just ringing up dollar signs for you. So if your broker is telling you that you can't do that, give me a call. They may be right. They might not be, you know, telling you the wrong thing. In my experience, most of the time, they just don't know about it, right? Most of the time, they just haven't been told about it. And especially if you're with a broker at one of these wirehouses or one of these places where they are captive and they're required to do certain things, then they may not even think about the fact that we can move the money out of their management to help their client. As a true fiduciary, we are a fiduciary firm, folks. We do what's best for you. And for me, a lot of times that ends up meaning that I am going to make little to no money or less money, or maybe I will lose out on, you know, an account that I had for now, because we're doing the right thing for a client, right? So if you're not working with a fiduciary firm and they haven't told you about that, give my office a call. So to recap, you can do this backdoor Roth. You can also do traditional IRA contributions if you're earning money. So if you've gone down to part-time, you've turned on Social Security, but you're still working part-time, but you're over full retirement age, so the amount of money that you're making doesn't hurt you from the Social Security standpoint, then okay. We can talk about doing a Roth contribution or doing a deductible IRA contribution. As long as you're not covered by your employer's plan or making too much money, you can do those things. So they are not mutually exclusive. You can continue to save money for retirement at that point. So give us a call. The other thing that I've been asked about, I've got a lot of folks that have been calling because Chuck had a sign outside our office for a long time that says tired of low CD rates. And now more than ever, CD rates are getting even lower. So a lot of times I will get phone calls from people that will ask me to say, hey, I've got this CD maturing. The bank isn't going to pay me very much. I'll talk to people that are over the moon. We talked about inflation before, where we're super excited about the low cost of gas, quote unquote low. I'm using air quotes, right? But they are jumping for joy at a 2% CD for 5 years. Folks, that's terrible. 2% for 5 years? Now, that's not terrible in terms of what's out there in the interest rate environment, but it's terrible to think about that being a great option. If you want to know about some safe options, some things that we're doing with our clients, we've talked about they generally speaking, they involve some sort of insurance product, or they involve some sort of what's called a structured product, or, you know, we use options to build safe money plays around investing your money to get a interest payment, to get a guaranteed interest payment. Because this is safe money, right? CDs, the investments in CDs, you're not investing it there to grow it. You're investing it there for it to be safe and hopefully gain some interest. But right now, the interest rate environment, there is very little interest to be gained. Don't you think there's a better way? And there is. There are options out there. And we are working with clients night and day to make sure that we come up with what's going to give you the best interest rate return. What's going to give you the best risk-free return? Because let's try to find it. T-bills, treasuries are paying nothing. CDs are paying nothing. At the bank, a five-year CD, I think I last got quoted, and not to pick on Wells Fargo, but that's where I do my banking. And their CDs, I think it's 5 years and 0.25%. 0.25%. And they get to hold on to my money for 5 years and go lend it out. Because I'm here to tell you, folks, if you think that banks aren't making money off your money when they're paying you the CDs, they're making money. They take that money. That's why you have to lock it up for 5 years. And that's why you forfeit the interest that they're going to pay you if they have to do it. Because they're taking that money, they're turning around and either lending it out to people at a higher rate, right? Because you've noticed when you borrow from them, it's not 0.25%. It's much higher. Or they're investing it. They're investing that money. So why not turn yourself into the bank? Why let them take your money and go out and lend it and make more money? They're doing that on the savings account too, folks. That's why the savings account pays more money, has a requirement of you're only allowed to do a certain number of transactions in a month. Your checking account pays nothing because you can do as many transactions as you want. In fact, they want you to do debit card transactions because that's where they make their money there, right? They make their money on the debit card service fee. But in a savings account, they'll pay you more interest because they can lock that money up. It's liquid. It doesn't, you know, you could take it out, but they know that you're only allowed to do a certain number of transactions. And if you drop below a certain level of assets in there, they're going to cut your interest rate. And they know that traditionally, people put money in savings for long-term savings, right? It's in there for the long term. And if you can put it in there and over a year, you're going to earn, you know, 0.25%, 1/3% maybe if you're lucky, right, on a platinum savings account. They can turn around and lend that money, right? They can turn around and lend that money out to somebody who's getting a mortgage for 4%. That's a big difference. 4% to 0.5%. And the bank is taking it, you know, they're taking you all the way to the bank, right? They are laughing all the way back to their own bank at us because we're willing to give them that money. Now, I'm not saying they're doing anything bad or they're like stealing money. They're just not paying us as much interest as we could earn. So if you want to know more about options that are out there, and the things that we talk about, I don't ever tell you that, hey, you know, this is the right thing for everybody. This may make sense. I just want you to know it's out there. So give our office a call, and I'm happy to talk to you about it. 503-253-3000. I will tell you the products that we were using, the types of accounts that we are using for our clients to have liquid amounts of money that is earning better interest than they could earn at the bank and is not taking any more risk than they would be taking at the bank. What's the I in FDIC? Do you know what the I in FDIC is? It's insurance. Federal Depository Insurance Corporation, right? FDIC, insured. It's insured. So why let the bank make money off it when you could be doing the same thing? You could take your money and make your money work for you rather than working for the bank. Now, not all your money, not all your savings, right? But some. And if you'd like to explore that option and see what may make sense for you, I'm happy to talk to you about it, or one of my team is happy to talk to you about it. And if it doesn't make sense, worst case is you kick the tires, right? You're shopping for CDs. People like to shop for CD rates. Let us rate shop for you. Let us see if we can find something at a better rate than what you're getting right now. And if it makes sense, great. We'd love to help you. And if it doesn't, at least you knew it was out there and you can make an informed decision. So I wanted to talk about beneficiary IRAs, but I'm running out of time for today. So we'll have to talk about beneficiary IRAs next week. If you have a question, if you've inherited an IRA, if you've inherited some money, some investments, anything like that, and you want to talk about how that applies to your situation, shoot me an email, askbo@pfgwm.com, or drop me a text at investingsimplifiedradio.com. I'm happy to talk about it here on the show, or I'm happy to talk about it one-on-one with you. Again, whether that's face-to-face as we start to open up, over the phone, or in a virtual meeting, give us a call. no obligation. We'd love to talk to you about it. Thank you so much for listening today. Be safe out there. God bless you all. Have a great day.
Price Financial Group, wealth management. Price Financial Group, wealth management.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you're reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.